In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
So this is a rather interesting story that we have in our Gospel of Mark today. And it is on a couple of levels. One is because it's a rather lengthy and detailed story, especially for the Gospel of Mark. Because Mark is not known for his long stories. Mark is known for the facts and just the facts, thank you, ma'am, right? Like, he just gets to the point in all of his things. He's short and pithy and everything's immediate and quick, and we don't get things like the prodigal son story or the Good Samaritan story in Mark. This is probably the longest story we get in the whole gospel, and what a story it is, right? It's rather gruesome, to say the least. And it's interesting that it is told in this way in response to who is Jesus, right? Like, who is Jesus, and who are people saying Jesus is? And they throw out again a couple of suggestions on who Jesus might be. And then Mark goes into this whole gory story about how John the Baptist dies. It's the most we get about John the Baptist in all of the Gospels, right? I mean, we hear about his birth. We know even a little bit about his pre-birth, because we know that when his mom Elizabeth is greeted by Mary when she comes to visit, that John leaps in her womb. He recognizes Mary carrying God's son before he's even born. And then we know that he becomes an itinerant preacher, and he lives a rather bizarre life. He goes out and lives in the wilderness, eating locusts and wild honey and wearing strange clothes. And it had to be strange even for that time, because it's noted in scripture what he wore. I mean, where else do we hear about what people's clothing were, right? Camel skins and a leather belt. And that he preached. And we get a little snippet of what he preached, right? About repentance. And he was telling people that they needed to change their lives, or they were going to pay, and they should be baptized and cleanse themselves of their sins. And that's kind of it. And then we get all of this. Why? Why was Mark telling us this long story about John the Baptist? I don't know. What I think maybe is because so many of us, and I'm guessing even back in Jesus' day, because people were going through a whole heck of a lot of stuff, like to think, why me, right? Things happen to us all the time. And why me? Why is God doing this to me? We've all heard that, right? Why is God doing this to me? Why is God giving me all these burdens to carry? Why is God having people in my life suffer? Why have I lost my job? Why have, you know, my family or friends died? Why do I have this disease? Why has this happened? Why is John the Baptist sitting in a cold, dank jail that I'm sure he is not getting fed very well or treated very well? John the Baptist, to recognize the Son of God before God's Son was even born. John the Baptist, who sacrificed a normal life to serve God in the desert, to preach things people did not want to hear. Obviously, that's what landed him in jail, right? John the Baptist, one of God's chosen good people. And look what happens to John. And I'm quite sure John was not sitting in that jail saying, why me? Why me? Why am I here? I was good. I did everything you asked me. Why me? Because he knew that God did not promise that because we were good people, we were faithful people, that bad things were not going to happen to us. Right? He knew that. He saw what was going on down here. He already saw how we were. He already saw how we treated one another. He already saw the evil in the world. God knew that things were not perfect down here, that our lives were not perfect, that creation was not perfect, that bad things happened all the time. Sometimes we do it to one another, as John was experiencing, out of hate. The Message translation for this said that Herodias had hate simmering in her heart towards John the Baptist. We know what that can do, right? Crimes of passion, we hear about all the time. Things we do to one another, this imperfect world that we live in, this creation, some things that we have done to it ourselves that cause us now to be sick in our bodies. Things we've done to the air, things we've done to the water, things we've done to our food that cause us to be sick. There's all kinds of things that happen, that just happen. God doesn't make them happen to us. God did not put hate in Herodias's heart. She didn't like what she was hearing about how she was behaving. She didn't like that mirror being held up to her face to say, maybe this isn't the way you should be living. And she didn't like the person holding that mirror to her. And she was a person in power. And she lived in a time where she could say, I don't like that guy. Let's take him out. I don't want to have to hear him anymore. That certainly was not God acting by any means. So where is God, right? God did promise to be with us in every single thing that happens to us in our lives. And he fulfilled that promise most clearly in sending Jesus be here to walk this earth with us and experience it and see it and try to heal it and to show us a better way and to be with us even now. He sent the Spirit to lift us up, to surround us in love, to give us strength. He gave us one another, inspiring us to be kind and generous and thoughtful and loving and to walk beside one another in our darkest moments. That's where God is. I have no doubt that God's Spirit was sitting in that cell with John the Baptist in his darkest hours. That God gave him the courage to face what was coming. And that God lifted his spirit up into heaven at that moment of his death. We are never left alone. And bad things happen to good people. And God is not the cause of those bad things. And please do not let anyone tell you differently. As I was preparing for this sermon, a friend of mine posted this on Facebook. Faith doesn't always take you out of the problem. Faith takes you through the problem. Faith doesn't always take away the pain. Faith gives you the ability to handle the pain. Faith doesn't always take you out of the storm. Faith calms you in the midst of the storm. Amen.
Amen.